You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. For decades, teen cigarette smoking rates in the U.S. were declining. But according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that is no longer true. Many health officials think it's because of e-cigarettes. Even though they were designed to help adults quit smoking, the rise in teen vaping is making some people call for a crackdown on that market. Here in San Francisco, that's not a new idea. Last June, voters banned all flavored tobacco sales across the city, creating one of the most restrictive laws of its kind in the country. So what happens to small businesses when they have to pull these products off their shelves? And how is the city helping with that transition? KALW's Priya Mahadevan found out.
We have this nice little map that tells us exactly where we're heading.
Good morning.
Hi. Hi, I'm Janine Young. I'm from the Department of Public Health.
I arrive at a gas station in the Sunset District with Janine Young, one of the senior environmental health inspectors from the Department of Public Health. She's letting me tag along on one of her flavored tobacco compliance checks. The city is planning to visit every store selling tobacco before the end of February to make sure they're following the new law.
So part of what I'm doing is I'm looking to verify that there are no flavored products here.
That means no more fruity nicotine vape liquids, sweetened hookahs, or even menthol cigarettes. As of January 1st, any tobacco retailer in San Francisco selling any of these products risks suspension of their permit. But how'd we get here? It all started when former board supervisor Malia Cohen announced in April of 2017 that she and the board were planning to pass an ordinance banning sales on all flavored tobacco products.
Right. So flavored tobacco products are widely considered to be starter products because they taste good, they mask the flavor of tobacco, they make it easier for people experimenting with tobacco to become lifelong users.
And according to the California Department of Public Health, 80% of young tobacco users started with a flavored product. Janine Young argues that some of those flavors seem specifically geared to appeal to young people.
People will say that those products were designed for adults, but are adults really smoking birthday cake? Are they smoking bubblegum?
A few months later, the ordinance was unanimously approved by Cohen and the Board of Supervisors. But even before the ban could be enforced, it was met with resistance. A coalition of business associations with backing from tobacco giant R.J. Reynolds pushed the ordinance onto the June 2018 ballot, forcing a citywide vote. You see, here in San Francisco, it's possible to delay or even reject a law if a group gathers enough valid signatures for a public referendum. And that's exactly what happened here. The ordinance appeared on the ballot as Proposition E, and the tobacco group poured nearly $12 million into a campaign to defeat it, funding ads like these.
If history proves anything, it's that prohibition does not work. When you impose a ban on adults, you create more problems than you solve. Vote no on the prohibition proposition. Vote no on Proposition E.
But in the end, San Francisco affirmed the Board of Supervisors' ban on flavored tobacco with 68% of the vote.
And what was your initial reaction after it passed?
Oh, we have to get busy.
Once the ban became law, it ended up on the desks of Janine Young and her coworkers. According to the law, retailers can have their tobacco permits suspended for up to a year if they're caught selling flavored tobacco products. But Young says they didn't want to jump straight into enforcement.
I think that the hard part is that public health initiatives take time, and we are taking just slow steps.
Since June, they've reached out to the business community to gather questions and concerns. They also created fact sheets on the ins and outs of what counts as a flavored tobacco product and visited every single tobacco retailer in the city to educate owners about the new law.
You can see that I verified that you do not have any flavored tobacco products on site.
And that brings us to today and this compliance visit. Mm-hmm. This is one of the final puzzle pieces to rolling out the city's flavored tobacco ban. Even though the city has taken its time to transition, Young says there's only so much they can control.
You know, none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know what will happen.
Meaning, will customers buy their flavored products online or elsewhere? Will they switch over to using unflavored tobacco or even stop smoking altogether? That uncertainty has produced some anxiety within San Francisco's small business community. After the gas station, we dodge into a corner store just down the street. Young, once again, runs through her list of compliance checks.
Hi, good morning. Hello. How are you?
When I talk to this owner about his impression of the ban, he says he supports the city's initiative. But he has reservations.
My name is Sam Kayla, owner of Luca Food and Deli and Wine Shop. My reaction to the flavored tobacco, I'm with the city with it, but I'm against that. We are isolated, the city of all like California, because people can go buy it somewhere else and it's not fair for us.
For Kayla, the ban didn't go far enough. Like, maybe it would have been better to pass a more comprehensive ban on flavored tobacco products that extended beyond San Francisco city limits.
So our next site looks like it's a tobacco shop, A1 Smoke Shop. And so I do expect the tobacco shop is going to be different.
And Young is right. The reaction from this smoke shop owner is much different than Kayla's.
How are you? I'm here about the flavored tobacco law.
Yeah.
And this is KALW radio. They're here to just see...
To see that how you guys are going to close us down?
To see that how you're complying with the law, yes. Okay.
So basically you want to see how you close us down.
The owner questions the basic fairness of the law.
How's it fair to a liquor store selling liquor, groceries, candy, this? We're a smoke shop. We actually feature our business in tobacco. I mean, every year we always got something banned from us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a rough life, you know?
I talked to about a dozen more corner stores and smoke shop owners across the city. And they're feeling the pressure from the city's efforts to regulate tobacco. Since 2010, every tobacco retailer in San Francisco has had to pay a cigarette litter tax on every pack they sell. That tax is continually increasing, which can be a headache for both bookkeeping and their bottom line. And in 2016, businesses could no longer sell tobacco to anyone under 21 years old, and that's up from 18. Most businesses say they face a lot of other pressures that go beyond tobacco laws. There are basic things like rent increases, but also many retailers are thinly staffed and managers work long hours and through weekends to stay competitive. So when this owner expresses his frustration, it's like an outlet for all these challenges and grievances. For some, the flavored tobacco ban feels like the latest blow in a long series of setbacks.
You know, our rent goes up and business goes down.
Yeah,
so I say, Poppy, by next year, I'll be closed down.
Well, hopefully that won't happen.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
I mean, no more money here.
Young believes that San Francisco is resilient. She's seen tobacco retailers adapt as laws around the industry have changed, and she believes they can do it again.
So the community is saying we want healthier neighborhoods. The policymakers are passing laws to build healthier neighborhoods. How are we able to help improve health and also make sure that our businesses are thriving?
Young isn't offering specific solutions just yet because she believes that the strongest ones will come from the businesses themselves. And currently, there's a 311 line open for businesses to call in with any ideas they have. In the meantime, the Department of Public Health is enforcing this ban, and businesses are going to have to figure out how or if they can stay afloat. In San Francisco, I'm Priya Mahadevan for Cross Currents.
Priya is a fellow in KALW's Audio Academy training program. And a final note on that story, e-cigarette companies are also facing pressure nationally from the FDA. The commissioner said if youth smoking rates continue to rise in 2019, e-cigarettes may, quote, face an existential threat.